So there was Pudge Rodriguez yesterday. He was one of three put into the Hall of Fame along with Jeff Bagwell and Tim Raines. Bobby McKillop is here. He's already, I think he's already grinning here because he thinks he already knows where I'm going with all of this.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so I got no problem with Pudge. Everybody loves Pudge. Pudge was a great player, played in the steroid era.
Here we go.
But nobody ever accused Pudge of doing anything. But if you look at pictures of Pudge, he grew big just like McGuire did. Jeff Bagwell, great hitter, great ball player, certainly a Hall of Famer, played in the steroid era. Along with Craig Biggio, who got real big. and then there's Tim Raines. Tim Raines. Okay. Again, just playing devil's advocate here, killer, because I don't care. I don't care who they put in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't acknowledge the Baseball Hall of Fame because Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell can't get in.
I was just going to say that this has got to have to do with who isn't in rather than who's going in.
Tim Raines is an admitted cocaine user.
Had a major problem.
Tim Raines, in a court of law,
had a major problem.
Told the judge he only slid headfirst into bases so that he would not break the vials of cocaine that were in his uniform pants pockets.
Yeah, he had a major problem.
Tim Raines inducted into the Hall of Fame. Cocaine is an illegal substance. In every state of our union, if you have cocaine, you get into legal trouble. The steroids and all that stuff, was it illegal?
Well, everybody knew they were doing it. That's
what I mean, I'm not even talking about like baseball. Number one, baseball didn't have a rule against it.
Right.
Number two, though, like,
and they all knew they were doing
it. Could you go to the store and buy the stuff? I mean, how did you get your hands on steroids?
Yeah, you could get your hands on it.
Was it legal?
Yes.
Like, could you get arrested for buying them?
No.
But yet this guy who used cocaine said he used to snort during games.
Very true.
There are stories of in Pittsburgh.
That's not allegedly. That's from coming out of his mouth.
These are facts. The mascot in Pittsburgh was hooking up guys in the 80s. there's a story of one player, John Milner, who went into the bathroom in Pittsburgh and made a $2,000 Coke buy in one of the stalls during a game that he was playing in.
That was an interesting time in sports.
So Tim Cokehead Raines gets in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds is evil.
Evil.
Mark McGuire is evil.
Evil.
And they are never going to get into the Hall of Fame. Bobby McKelp, they're never going to get there.
Roger Clemens,
never going to get there.
Rafael Palmeiro.
They're never going to be forgiven.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah, they're never going to be forgiven. But Tim Raines took coke. He's in the Hall of Fame. Ferguson Jenkins stopped in a Toronto airport.
Oh, here we go.
By customs.
Yeah.
Cocaine, hashish, and marijuana.
Yeah. From Chatham, Ontario, Ferguson Jenkins.
First Canadian in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Now, was he a Hall? Absolutely. But he was caught with three substances that were all very illegal in two countries. Forgiven. Paul Molitor. Who doesn't love Paul Molitor?
Love him.
Paul Molitor admitted that in 1981, he was on coke.
Yeah, like I said, the 80s was a different time in sports, for sure. I mean, you know, it's endless. Daryl Strawberry, I mean, it's endless.
No,
the guys are endless.
But Daryl Strawberry, they're not going to let him in the Hall of Fame.
Of course
they're going to let Dwight Gooden in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, never.
Ty Cobb. Now, Ty Cobb didn't take drugs other than alcohol. But this is a guy who in 1912...
Yeah, here we go.
Went into the stands.
Notorious.
Notorious idiot. And beat up a heckler who happened to be a man with no hands. He went into the stands and pummeled this guy and got a 10-game suspension from baseball for it. that became so controversial that the Tigers' entire team walked out on a game in Philadelphia, and the Tiger manager had to pluck people off the streets to play in the game, and the Tigers ended up losing like 23-2 to the A's that day with a team of people off the streets playing the A's. Also, Cobb, later in his life, and most historians dispute that this happened, there was an incident. He was mugged by three guys, but Cobb claims to have killed one of the three muggers. He claimed it right in the book. He told the guy writing his biography, "I killed a guy." Ty Cobb was one of the first people they put in the Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb's in. Fergie Jenkins is in. Paul Molitor is in. Tim Raines is now in. Gaylord Perry, who was accused his entire career of cheating.
Cheating, yeah.
He threw the spitball.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows it. Yeah. Nobody could catch him at it.
Right. Well, they could have. They just didn't want to.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He cheated.
But he had an Emery board in his pitching glove. I mean, if you wanted to find it, you could have found it with him.
He's a cheater.
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got guys, I've never heard a bad word said about Alan Trammell or Lou Whitaker. I look at their numbers and I compare them to Tim Cokehead Raines. Okay. Tim Raines played 23 seasons in the major leagues, 2,502 games. He had less home runs, less RBIs than Whitaker and Trammell. He did his claim to fame was stealing bases. He had 808 stolen bases. But after his sixth season in the big leagues, his first 6 years, he stole at least 70 every year.
Which is incredible.
After that, he played another 16 years, and only twice did he get up to 50.
Yeah, it's incredible. His first 6 years were incredible.
His first 6 years were incredible.
Incredible.
He had like 300 more hits than Whitaker and Trammell, but he played 200 more games.
Yeah, almost a season and a half more.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I look at it. I look at Whitaker's numbers. I look at Joe Morgan's numbers. I look at Tim Raines' numbers. And then I look at character.
Absolutely.
These guys, and they played together side by side for 19 seasons as a double play combination. They played both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
The one is a World Series MVP.
Yeah.
Or a league MVP. It's ridiculous. They'll never get in, but some cokehead guy gets in. Why? Not because he played for Montreal, because if he only played for Montreal, Tim Raines would have never gotten in.
Never gotten in.
During his lesser years of his career, he played in Chicago.
Yeah.
He played for the Yankees. Yeah. That's why he's getting in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, there's so many people that don't even realize that Tim Raines played for Montreal. He's kind of like, you know, Andre Dawson played in Montreal.
Yeah. Andre Dawson got in because he played for the Cubs.
Right.
Nobody knows that for 10 years in Montreal, he was that same great player, but nobody even knew who he was until he went to the Cubs.
Unbelievable. Gary Carter played in Montreal.
Gary Carter.
Okay. I mean,
oh, but he was a Met. What are you talking about, Bobby?
Trust me.
He played for the Mets for 4 or 5 years.
Trust me, people don't understand, but you're exactly right. You know, the thing that gets me, and this is a heated topic amongst athletes for sure, is, you know, I have no problem with what they're doing if they came up with a criteria, if they were consistent with their criteria, if part of their criteria was, hey, listen, we're not, if you want to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you have to be this, an all-round.
They have a role. They have a character criteria.
Obviously not.
Well, it's just... It's voted on by writers, and the writers pick the guys that they like or that they know.
Well, if they have criteria character.
They don't like Barry Bonds because they feel like all those years Barry was lying to us, and we're the most important thing on earth. How can you lie to us?
Right.
How can you lie to us great writers and great sportscasters? We're never going to forgive you because you lied to us. You can't be in the Hall of Fame, even if your numbers are 1,000 times better than this idiot that did backflips on the field, couldn't hit, but played great shortstop and smiled all the time.
Ozzie Smith.
I'm talking about Ozzie Smith, whose numbers don't add up to Alan Trammell's.
No, I agree. I mean, the thing about it, Stuck, is that, you know, when you take a look at the baseball writers and you take a look at the Bud Selig era, and obviously what Bud Selig did for baseball was, you know, we can talk about who he was as a person. Obviously, you know, owned Milwaukee, then he gets thrown into the commissioner's chair, and, and what he did for baseball by having that investigation and starting that whole thing and the Pete Rose thing and whatnot. Basically what he did was he put himself in a position where he thought he was making his mark on baseball. And what he actually did to baseball was he tarnished the game forever. It'll never be the same. When people talk about the steroid, I don't think people really realize what we're talking about. A PED, a performance-enhancing drug, and what they started testing for, that could be as simple as an off the a Sudafed off the shelf at a drugstore. That Rafael Palmeiro swears that's all he did was took something for a decongestant. He's going to be banned for baseball for life. That moment in time in baseball, everybody knew they were taking enhancing drugs, whether it was strength, a steroid, whether it was a PED, some performance enhancing. Everybody knew that if you wanted to compete in that level, and it wasn't like whispering about it. People just knew. You saw McGuire's size. You saw Konsenko's size. You watched Barry Bonds go from a skinny little, real agile, quick, batted guy in Pittsburgh to the guy he ended up being in San Francisco. And you watched other guys go through that too. And I think baseball needed to kind of take a step back and go, hey, listen, this was our fault. We weren't policing it at the time. There was nothing illegal about it. It was these guys, in order for them to play in the major leagues, felt like they needed to be on a level playing field. And the playing field they felt like they needed to be on was they needed to be a part of this era. Some guys did it, some guys didn't. And I can tell you this right now, there's a whole bunch of guys that have been inducted in the Hall of Fame who played during that steroid era that never got caught, that were just never got caught. And I think when you take that brush and you go, we're going to alienate our best players from that era. I'm talking about the best players that have ever played in Major League Baseball history, according to their numbers, not what we think of them as players.
Hey, A-Rod's never getting in.
Okay, according to their numbers, the best players that ever played. For Roger Clemens, Murph McGuire, Barry Bonds, A-Rod, for these guys...
Sosa,
Palmeiro. For these guys not to get in. For them just not to get in. Forget about Trammell and Whitaker. That's a whole nother discussion. You and I should be having that discussion every day, not the one that we're having about why they're not letting these guys in. But for you to take a whole decade and a half almost of players and go, hey, you know what? We're going to say that we're just going to kind of strike you from the record. Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa single-handedly in one season brought baseball back.
Exactly. They'd had a work stoppage. People were fed up.
Nobody
was going to baseball games. And all of a sudden, McGuire and Sosa juiced up
in 1 year
and started chasing Roger Maris's home run record, and everybody came flocking back to baseball. You couldn't turn on Sports Center. You couldn't turn on your TV and have a ball game on where games that
meant nothing.
The Cubs and the Cardinals have nothing to do with the teams you're watching. You'd watch Tiger games, and they would cut away to show you that Mark McGuire or Sammy Sosa hit a home run.
It was the most exciting time in baseball in our era that you and I would know. You know, we weren't around when the Babe was doing what he was doing. We weren't around when Maris was chasing that elusive record. And obviously, there was a lot of controversy behind that between him and Mantle as that was going on.
Yeah. And the fact that the commissioner himself came out and said, I'm putting an asterisk by it because we play 8 more games now than Babe Ruth played. So.
But remember, so in our era, for you and I being big sport baseball fans, in our era, that was the most exciting time in baseball. I literally remember having a very big party that I had to go to, and it might have been with my baseball team that I did not go to because I wanted to stay home and watch the home run derby at Fenway because McGuire and Sosa were going to be in it. And I thought, man, this is going to be awesome, watching them hit it on buildings across the street. And it was epic. That night was epic. But that brought baseball back to the forefront. And baseball had struggled with strikes. Baseball had struggled with some of their biggest stars having real drug, we'll call them cocaine and heroin and all these addictions. And I mean, Steve Howe went through, what Strawberry went through, with all these guys were going through at that time. And there were some really big players that were going through this. And, you know, when Tim Raines actually had to go into court, when he pled guilty, and part of the pleading guilty was he had to admit what he was doing. And when that actually came across the Sportswear, and I actually read that paper, I was actually up at my cottage when I read it. He was an expo, so obviously I knew a lot about him. And when I read that, I was amazed by that. But then what my dad said was, and it was pretty poignant at the time, what he said was, he said, understand something. And at the time, I'm a hockey player. And he's like, you live in this world right now. I want you to think about all the stuff that people just don't know. Think about everything that goes on every single day in your lives, what you see every single day, whatever. That's on your scale. Give your guys another $3.5 million bucks each. And then see, just imagine what goes on behind closed doors. So I'm always disappointed at this time of year. There's a sadness for me at this time of year because I think it's really brought kind of a, you know, you want to talk about an asterisk. I think, you know, every single player that gets voted in, for all those guys that don't get voted in, it's like, you know, what are we doing? And it, trust me when I tell you this, it might not be until you and I are, you know, maybe 20 years down the road, maybe 25 years down the road, this will all get reversed. Somebody, they will come in like they do with everything and go, hey, this can't happen. We have to start letting these guys in. And the unfortunate thing is these guys are going to walk around the rest of their lives not getting the honor that they is really deserved by them because they were baseball. They got the game to where it is today, and they deserve to have that recognition for that.
It's just a lot of huge inconsistencies out there. Anyways, we got to take a break. A little later on in the show, Doc Emmerich will be by. That'll happen around 4:30-ish. So you'll want to hang out for that because that'll always be good.
Back to more Dennis Stuckey on Information 1380 WPHM.
Solving all the world's problems in a single bound. It's Dennis Stuckey with Bob Killen today. Doc Emmerich will join us in about less than a half hour from now. Weekend 2 of Silver Stick starts later today. There's actually only 8 games today. 6 of them are over at Glacier Point. The first 2 games start at 6. 2 games at McMorran's Main Arena tonight at 7 o'clock. The Port Huron Flyers take the ice against Hespeler in PWEA action. Hespeler is where they make sticks and gloves, right?
Well, yeah.
It's How far from Toronto is that?
Well, it's about 6 minutes from Kitchener, so it's about maybe 45 minutes from Toronto.
Okay.
It's just outside of Cambridge.
So you're familiar with it.
I've been in the Hespeler plant several times.
You ever like use any of their gloves
when I was a kid,
and
sure.
sticks.
Yeah. Well, Gretz used to use their sticks too, right? When Gretzky went to their stick. Yep. They have a great company just outside of Cambridge.
So the Hespeler Shamrocks in PWEA, and then the Bantam A game at 8:30 is between the Port Huron Flags and the Aurora Tigers.
Another just outside Toronto team. Yeah. Quick shout out to my buddy and Blummer's buddy, Scott Gosman, and his Mount Clemens Wolves. That's Blummer's organization out there in Mount Clemens. They're O2s. Good luck to them this weekend. They have a couple Port Huron ties there. So if you get a chance to go down and see, and you're going to see a Wolf mascot running around there. So one of Scotty's buddies is going to be putting on a mascot, Wolf mascot. That should be interesting. But good for them. As he said to me, we were talking about it. You know, he qualified every single year because he was from Port Huron. And for his kids to actually earn their way into it is pretty big. So he's excited. So good luck to them.
I'm looking. I can't see what they're, because they've got to play an early game tomorrow, but they do have a game.
11. They played 11 tomorrow.
They do have a game at 8:30 tomorrow night against Glenwood over at Glacier Point.
They played 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at McMorran, I believe. Who do they got?
The 11 o'clock games. Oh, there they are. 11 o'clock against Central Wellington in the main arena. So there you go.
There you go. And I wrote down on a piece of paper these kids' names. I know Ethan Smith is one of the local kids from here. I can't remember the other ones. I'm sorry, boys. I know there's a Maryville boy and a Marine City boy, but you got to understand, for these 3 kids to come back here, and especially Gazi, in a town that they grew up in, I mean, this has been on their radar, and people don't understand, as a young hockey player, that there's nothing greater than playing in Silver Stick. We're so fortunate as a town to still have this event. So good luck to all the participants. It's part of the best part of life, going down and watching youth hockey, and you get to see, you know, we get to watch hockey all the time, and these guys making millions of dollars. But I'll tell you what, it's something else to watch these kids compete on that level, and just for the pride and the love of the game.
It's a lot of fun, and I like watching guys like you who reminisce about back in the day when you played in the event and the things that you remember, the things that you don't remember. We had a great clip, speaking of Doc Emmerich, who will be in a little while here. But one of my Silver Stick updates is the story of Doc, because Doc likes to go around, and anybody who's got a Port Huron story, he loves to listen to it. Don Maloney, who is a great New York Ranger.
Absolutely. And Toronto Maple Leaf.
And Toronto Maple Leaf, and he's been a GM in the National Hockey League. I think Don's doing TV now.
Yep.
He played in Silver Stick in Port Huron, and so Doc said, "Well, what do you remember about it?" And back then, of course, they billeted the players.
Yes.
And he's like, "Well, I can't remember the name of the family that I stayed with. All I can remember about them is they had a 16-year-old daughter who was gorgeous."
where the truth has to come out at that point, doesn't it? I can't say I know what they're talking about, Stuck. I can't say that I know what he's talking about.
Because, you know, a Bantam age player, he would never be thinking about girls.
No, no.
Not at all.
I mean, my high school team, they never think about that stuff. I mean, I have to remind guys that we're playing in a game when we play at home and there's, you know, 150 of our students' body there.
And the guys are on the bench and the head's like a swivel.
Yeah, I mean, you know when we're playing at home and it's a big game for us because, you know, we have our national anthem and whatnot. So the starting five go out there and they get to take their helmets off. And, you know, they're the guys every game that are in the bathroom with the mirror before. But every home game we have, guys are fighting to get into the bathroom. I'm like, fellas, what's going on here? But I know what's going on.
I shouldn't tell this story, and I'm not even sure if it's true or not.
Oh, no, here we go.
Dave Cameron, he might have been joking because Dave did a lot of jokes. But Dave Cameron told me that he got rid of Glenn Mears because he saw Glenn Mears doing the thing with the hand through the hair one day, looking in the mirror, and he said, I can't keep that guy around. He's more worried about his hair than playing his position.
Okay, well, I don't know. If you're a hockey fan, this stuff goes on all the time. Okay, prime example, Toronto Maple Leafs are playing against Buffalo 2 nights ago. And they're up 2-0. Buffalo's up 2-0 in Toronto. Toronto comes back and makes it 2-2. They have a TV timeout. Robert Leonard, who's a huge goaltender, a tough goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres, comes back for the TV timeout. As he's back there, right in the corner where he's getting his water, there is a young, rather attractive, when I say young, I'm saying for me, young is 25, 26. She's in the corner. She's videotaping him as he's taking his water. And she's right beside the bench. And she has her camera out. She's smiling at him. He waves at her, fixes his hair, smiles at her, takes the selfie picture, goes back in. The very next shift, they score. So now it's 3-2. Dan Bylsma, the coach of Buffalo, pulls him. Why did he pull him? And when Leonard came off the ice, he slammed his helmet. He was looking at him, talking to him the whole way off. Dan Bylsma says very simply after the game, I don't think I need to tell you why I pulled him. I think we can all watch television. But, I mean, think about that. So here's an NHL goaltender. Now, remember, goalies are goalies.
Goalies are different.
Yeah. Goalies are goalies. I mean, I left them alone my whole career and whatnot, and those guys would do strange things. But I don't think it's a really good idea when you're in the middle of a game that you need to be socializing with the – now, you know, I mean, dude, I skated around in some buildings, and I never saw what was going on outside the building. I mean, there could have been – I just never did. I never looked around. I mean, every once in a while at home, you know, put people, but – and you just don't do it. You just don't do it. Yeah, I it's just hard to explain. You just don't do it.
I know who the weirdest goalie was that you played with, but we really can't talk about him on the air. You played with him for the Falcons.
Oh, God.
And he played in the NHL.
We don't want to have this discussion.
No, we can't. But if I asked you, that's got to be like the weirdest goalie you ever played with.
It's not even close. And I played with him for a while too.
So anyways, yeah, that's one for the book in a chapter where I don't put any names in.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I mean, and you could talk about your book, and I know Doc's going to be writing a book too. And if I ever wrote a book, boy, I'll tell you what, it better be when I'm on my deathbed. That's all I can tell you. And it better be when I'm on my deathbed. So,
good stuff.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. But, I mean, we could all say that, right? It's the beauty of playing you know, the game in the minor. Some of the stuff I saw, Stuck. I mean, oh, my Lord. Some of the stuff that I saw on a day-to-day basis, both in the room, on the road, on the ice. And, you know, it's just...
Things will happen in the minor leagues that won't happen in the NHL. Like, I don't know if you knew Mike Zanzarella, because yes, Zanz was in Flint and Zanz was with us.
Yeah.
And when he was with us, we were in Adirondack.
Yeah.
And the mascot came up to the end of the bench, and there's a corridor at the end of the visiting team bench.
Yeah.
And there's just a piece of glass there, and the sticks are all up against that piece of glass at that end of the bench. And the mascot just came up. He just pounded his hands on the glass because he was being a mascot.
Right. And every trainer that we've ever been associated with wants to get in the game somehow. So here's his chance.
And the glass pops out, and all the sticks at the end of the bench fall over. Yeah. And without batting an eyelash, Zanz is the closest one to that end. He went right through the opening where the glass used to be, chased the mascot down this corridor. Now, the broadcast booth is up top in the rafters, but it's right at in line with the end of the bench and that corridor. So nobody else in the stands can see what's going on. But Zanz is on top of the mascot.
Oh, my goodness.
Out on the concourse, pummeling this poor guy. Fortunately, he's got the stupid, they were the Ice Hawks, and the stupid hawk thing on protecting him.
Yeah.
But Zanz was just killing this guy.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
And what was soaking wet? What was Mike Zanzarella, 175?
Maybe. But he was a feisty guy, though. He was a feisty guy. I mean, the stories are endless. I mean,
so he probably beat the guy up and then taped him up because he was the trainer.
I mean, Jason Wood that night in Flint when we had that brawl, the fan that jumped on the ice got handcuffed at the IMA. The IMA had security guys that were police officers. They had handcuffs on them. So when that guy jumped on the ice to go after Savo, and the security guys were in there right away, handcuffed him, and because there was a lot of stuff going on, they handcuffed him to the door behind our bench, which is like a little hallway, say a 10-foot hallway, 10-by-4 hallway. So he's handcuffed to the door, and of course, every trainer wants to get in the action. So here's this poor guy handcuffed with his hands behind his back to the door, both hands, and Jason Wood just grabs a stick and starts spearing him in places you shouldn't be spearing him. I mean, you know, I mean, it's the, like I said, there's many chapters in the books. And there's a whole bunch of chapters that we just won't talk about. There'll have to be two separate books.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Doc Emmerich will join us on the program. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show with Bobby McKillop here on WPHM.